When it comes to doing something about climate change, whether it's government officials trying to agree on emissions reductions or scientists trying to pull greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere, the odds seem long. But there are people willing to play those odds, no matter how impossible their chances. Reporter Sandon Totten recently spent some time with two people like that, a couple from Los Angeles.
Before we get to the project at the heart of this story, let me tell you about the people. Jess and Carlos Pelaez have always been big thinkers. Take the very first time they met. This was 7 years ago at a bar in Los Angeles. Jess and Carlos were both designated drivers that night. Carlos spotted Jess in the crowd, and pretty soon he was chatting her up. He remembers telling her about this crazy plan he had to mine an energy source called helium-3 from the moon.
And that if you can get a space shuttle's worth of helium-3, that you could power an entire city like LA for a year.
Helium-3? Is this super rare kind of helium that could possibly power nuclear plants. It's maybe even more rare as an effective pickup line.
And then she told me that her thesis advisor was a premier helium-3 scientist, and there's more helium-3 in the bottom of the ocean, and it's a lot easier to get it there than the moon. I thought, hey, this sounds great. Let's go to the bottom of the ocean and let's mine for helium-3 instead of going to the moon.
Jess and Carlos are like this all the time. They're married now. And they still constantly bounce ideas like this off each other, which brings us to what they're doing these days. A few years back, Jess says she started feeling like she was watching some slow-moving disaster. It was stuff she read, saw on TV. Coral reefs, forests, deserts she visited and loved were dying from pollution and climate change.
And thinking about how when they're gone, they're just completely gone forever. And saying, but wait, it's almost, you know, like we have the technology. We can rebuild him. You know, it was that sort of, well, why can't we fix these things now?
Jess and Carlos came up with a plan, a big one. It's a plan that when you hear it, it sounds one part completely reasonable and one part utter science fiction. Here's the idea. They'd go to threatened ecosystems and catalog everything, the plants, the animals, the rocks, the weather, then create detailed records for all of it. Here's the sci-fi part. They want to take those blueprints and use them to rebuild these places in giant warehouses for safekeeping, like backup copies of ecosystems. They call the plan Blueprint Earth.
So we'll have a desert, we'll have a tundra, we'll have grasslands, we'll have, you know, rainforest, we'll have wetlands and swamps, and eventually oceans.
Jess and Carlos know how this sounds. Just to be clear, they're practical people. Jess went to school for science. She's a geologist. Carlos works in tech. He consults for Fortune 500 companies. And they've gone about starting this super big idea in a very practical way. They started small, with a nonprofit, setting aside a few thousand dollars and signing up volunteers. Then they picked a place close by, the Mojave Desert, and decided to make this the test case. Soon, Jess and Carlos were going on regular trips out into the desert to actually do the thing they dreamed up. When I went out with them, some part of me expected Jess and Carlos to be working with a small army of scientists in white coats with fancy bioscanning lasers. In reality, it was a half dozen mostly 20-somethings with cameras and these metal box traps.
What we're doing is we're laying out these traps and we're trying to get the little rodents to go inside them.
We have one?
One of the volunteers, Teresa Cabrera, pulls a small brown canyon mouse from the metal box.
I love him.
He is smiling.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. Look at him.
Ah! Oh, he bit me.
Don't worry, she's fine. She examines the mouse, takes detailed notes, then lets it go. The whole thing feels like a field trip. All day long, volunteers are flipping over rocks, looking for bugs, taking notes on the weather, scooping up samples of pond water. What they're doing is basic science, documenting the things around them, nothing flashy. The leap comes when you try to connect the dots all the way to the big dream that Carlos and Jess have. How do you go from notes they're scribbling to a warehouse with the Mojave Desert inside it? There's so many details, like what do you do about the weather? Or large animals like bighorn sheep? It would be cruel to lock them in a warehouse, but they're clearly part of this ecosystem.
So what we would do, though, is we need to find a way to source bighorn sheep poop and urine so that we can actually replicate the effects of that weathering into the environment.
I'd love to see that Craigslist wanted ad.
Please give me bighorn sheep poo. Yeah, no, we hope to work with people who have a lot of them, like managed herds, sanctuaries. You know, that's where we'll get a lot of that stuff.
Jess and Carlos are not the first people to think something like this should be done, or that it's possible, or to actually try it. Maybe you remember Biosphere 2. It was a massive structure built in Arizona in the 90s. It was supposed to house different sealed and self-sustaining ecosystems. The thing cost $200 million and was a huge flop. Oxygen levels crashed, plants and animals died, huge flop. I talked to the Biosphere folks. They said they salute Jess and Carlos's plan and all their effort, but basically, good luck with that. Jess and Carlos are working on the same dream as the Biosphere team, just a smaller version. But the warehouse they scoped out would cost $8 million. Jess is working with no salary. Blueprint Earth has just $3,000 in the bank. That's just, let's see, $7,997,000 to go. Yeah.
Good day.
Great day.
The sun is setting. Big rocks around us cast long, dark shadows. It's getting cold, and everyone's stuffing notebooks and bug nets and water bottles back in their bags. So, at the end of the day here in the Mojave, seven volunteers working from morning to night, I wondered, how'd we do? According to Jess and Carlos, how much progress did we make toward a blueprint of the Mojave?
About 3%.
We spent all day today just covering about 3% of what you're trying to do?
And we haven't covered 100% of what we need to cover within this 3%. What percentage complete are we on this 3%?
80, 85.
And this is just the test case. Remember, they want to catalog the whole planet. That night, back at the camp, Jess and I sit around the fire, drinking, talking. So much of this is riding on her. She's Blueprint Earth's founder, fundraiser, leader, and cheerleader all rolled into one. Listening to her talk, it's amazing how much she believes in what they're doing, even while talking about how much money they need, how much time.
But I wonder, like you were saying today, you know, we looked at 85% of 3%. Like, we looked at the small fraction of what you really needed to do. And, like, when you told me that number, it kind of blew my mind. I was like, man, there's so much to do. And then I thought, you've basically just, like, built one brick for the Taj Mahal, but you still have the rest of the Taj Mahal to build.
Yep. Yeah, it's huge. It's impossible. We're never going to get it perfect, and we're never going to do all of it. It's almost like tilting at windmills, except we have real scientific methods that we can use to actually address the problem. If we can show people that, yes, it is possible to create an environmental blueprint, then from there, ideally, we'll get more support, right? People will know what we're doing.
Why does it mean so much to you?
I think because it's bigger than pretty much anything else I could do. A lot of people have kids. Their hopes and dreams are passed on for the next generation through having kids. Our legacy will not be that. I love other people's kids, but I'm not the, I've never had a maternal instinct, not once in my entire life. Our legacy needs to be something different, and I would rather try it and have partial success. I don't want to see this place turn into a museum exhibit, and that's it. But if it is, and that's the only memory we have of it, fine, I'll take that. I'll take that over nothing.
She'll take that over nothing. Hearing that from Jess, you realize that's the thing. No matter how likely or unlikely Jess and Carlos feel it is that they really will someday, however far away, create a backup version of the Mojave Desert and jungles and oceans and swamps, the comparison they're making is to do nothing. And whether it's having some partial record of this one place they care about, or some scientists learning something from what they're trying to do, falling short for them is still better than doing nothing. Jess and Carlos feel very sure of that. Reporting from Los Angeles, I'm Sandin Totten.
That story comes to us from WBEZ's Heat of the Moment. For more stories about everyday life on a changing planet, head to our website, alleghenyfront.org.